I was going to answer a series of questions this morning, which I might get to in a moment, but I want to share my own personal testimony with the Holy Spirit. The Lord was reminding me last night of my own story. In 1999, on April 20th, it was 4:20, 1999, and I really liked smoking weed. And so on 4:20, it's a very big kind of worldwide, everybody smokes weed kind of day. And so I remember I was working and in construction, and all I wanted to do was get off work so I could hang out with my friends and get high, right? Is that what you usually want to do on April 20th? And that was a joke. And I was working, and I remember this clearly because on my left hand, I had this ring on my finger, and I was working in construction, and I had actually dropped a boulder on my ring finger and kind of crushed it a bit at work. So I ended up in the hospital that day, and I was sitting in the hospital waiting room ready to get stitches, and I'm watching the TV, and this was the same day as the Columbine school shooting. And I was watching the TV and just horrified by this mass shooting in the high school in Colorado. And they were describing the mass shooting, and they were also saying, isn't it ironic that today is also Hitler's birthday? And I'm sitting there, and I have my crushed finger. I'm looking at the TV, and God starts speaking to me about a relationship that I was in at the time. A relationship that he didn't want me in, but I continued to disobey. Have you ever disobeyed God for love? So I was sitting there and sorry, honey. This is not Sonia, by the way, the story. It's not about her. It's before I met the love of my life. But I was in this relationship and the Lord started speaking to me. Soon after that, I went home and I'm like, well, I don't think the Lord was really speaking to me. And so I said, God, if you really want me to leave this relationship, I'm going to flip open the Bible and I'm going to point down, and whatever that verse is, I will listen to you. You ever do this? The verse is from Ecclesiastes. It said, something along the lines of, beware of the woman's heart, which is a snare. The righteous will escape her, but the wicked will perish. That can't be for me. I wasn't even a Christian at this point. I was just grasping for straws. A year later, about to the day, I gave my life back to the Lord. It was around the same time, April 20th, 2000. It took me a full year of those kind of encounters with God for me to be like, okay, he's speaking to me. I got out of that relationship and I started going back to church. I was standing in church one morning and I was listening to the pastor. He was a guest speaker named Matthew Thomas from India. He's now Dr. Matthew Thomas. And he was talking to the church in New York. He was a visiting pastor, and he gave an altar call. And the altar call that he gave was, if anybody here wants to be baptized in water and you haven't been, I would like to pray for you. I was like, that's an odd altar call, but I put up my hand and I came forward because I hadn't been baptized in water yet. And I was scheduled to actually the following month. So I went up, I stood at the front, and he started praying over individuals. And as he prayed over me, I was filled with the gift of tongues. I started speaking in this other language. This heavenly language, this spiritual language. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I didn't have enough doubt in my mind to block it. At that moment, as I was filled with the Spirit, I began this journey with the Lord. This journey of exploring the more. I've always been kind of ridiculously optimistic, which I think the Lord has used to become faith. And as my life with the Lord has deepened, two things have happened. The power of the Spirit on my life and intimacy with Jesus. I will tell you that I love Jesus more than anything in the world. And as my, hold on, don't clap. Because as I have grown to love Jesus, the power of God is just a byproduct. We don't pursue gifts. We don't pursue power. They're byproducts. Why would 120 people go to an upper room and wait for something that somebody... We can't even wait for Amazon Prime. It's not here by the end of the day, and we're like, oh my gosh, it's been 4 hours since I ordered that 70-inch TV. How come it's not here on my doorstep? They waited because they had relationship with Jesus. And the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the filling with the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, came because it was a byproduct of a love for Jesus. You cannot pursue the gifts apart from the giver. Some of us just simply don't want it. We're afraid of it. The enemy makes you afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. Because if you receive them, you'll be an unstoppable force for the kingdom. There's nothing that has divided the church more over the last 100 years than the Holy Spirit, as if he's the weird uncle. But I'd like to read from the Bible this morning. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is a baptism of fire, not a firework, as some may assume, but a bonfire that empowers you for lifelong ministry. This morning is not about a firework. It's not about trying to create something. It's about coming to burn for Jesus and wanting all that he has for us. Fire is plasma. It is not matter or gas. Fire is defined this way. Fire is a transient state as the object of matter is being transformed into gas. Fire is that middle point where an object becomes gas. It is not fully matter. It is not fully gas. It is the in-between point. The fire of the Holy Spirit, when it comes upon you and he comes upon you, you become basically plasma for the Spirit. He consumes you. You are not Holy Spirit, but you are certainly not just yourself. You are something in between. I love watching fire. That's a very scientific explanation. What the Lord showed me a couple years ago is I'm watching fire, and fire has this way of transforming whatever it burns into itself. That's how I describe it. And as I'm watching this fire, the Lord says, "That's you, Joel. I'm transforming you into looking more like me as you burn." We're not about becoming a firework. We're about becoming a bonfire that burns for ministry. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. I'm going to share briefly, and then we're going to pray for each and every one of you if you would like to receive both the baptism with the Holy Spirit, also a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. The baptism with the Holy Spirit and filling with the Holy Spirit are actually different concepts. We won't get into the theological differences today, but they are different. In other words, you are baptized with the Holy Spirit once, but you can ongoingly be filled with the Spirit throughout your life because we leak. Anyone leaking, you know, we need to be filled. Is it just me? Who needs to be filled? Filled to overflowing, right? So some of us are initially baptized with the Holy Spirit, but the concept is that we are being constantly filled and filled and filled because we pour out or we leak. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 8, Jesus is sitting with the disciples. He was eating with them. In verse 4, it says, he was eating with them and he gave them this command. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, don't leave today without getting everything God has for you. How long are you willing to wait for it? Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." Who promised it? The Father, which you heard me speak about. "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" You see, what they're confused about is Jesus is talking about baptism with the Holy Spirit, and they assume that Jesus is talking about an earthly kingdom. They assume that Jesus is talking about the restoration of Israel from under the Roman Empire. And he said, "It is not for you to know the time or day the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power." Everyone say power.
Power.
"When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Everyone say witnesses. "In Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth was like a way of saying the world. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is for something. It is for empowerment. John's baptism is a baptism of repentance in water. John's baptism, people, we celebrate it as well. You come, you are water baptized. That means you are washed of your sin, washed of your past. It is a symbol of a death and a resurrection to being born again in the kingdom. This is the baptism of John for repentance. It's to wash away the old. But Jesus brings a new baptism. Instead of a baptism in water, it is a baptism in fire. Instead of a baptism that washes away the old, it empowers us for the new. Many of us have stopped at the waters of baptism for repentance because we think that's as good as it gets. And yes, we must continually repent and continually turn from our wicked ways and continually fight against our flesh and continually fight against our mind, our will, and our emotions that want to turn us away from Jesus. Repentance is ongoing, but do not stop at John's baptism. Jesus has baptism of fire unto something. That we would be witnesses. Jesus baptizes us with power to be witnesses in Coquitlam, British Columbia, Canada, and the ends of the earth. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are that we might be witnesses. The baptism with the Holy Spirit, as we heard from Natalie, was in front of believers and unbelievers to be witnesses of the presence and the power of God. And Jesus says, wait for it. Jesus says, once you receive it in the upper room, go. Some of us have been filled with the Spirit a long time ago. Maybe we were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Maybe we spoke in tongues 20 years ago. But are you witnessing? We were given the Holy Spirit to witness. In other words, we were given the Holy Spirit not to camp out, but to go out. Not to check a box on our membership agreement that I have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, dated May 28, 2023. There is so much untapped potential in this room. In this upper room. And God wants to relight that fire. I'm not naturally an evangelist. I find it awkward, kind of weird, to walk up to someone. In fact, I went to Canadian Tire, I think it was yesterday or the day before. I walked into Canadian Tire and they had like the Canadian Tire credit card people there. And they wanted me to sign up for a new credit card and I'd get 10% off that day. Anybody experience that? The Triangles reward card? Yeah? Did they get you? That is how I see evangelism. Naturally. I'm being honest with you. I know you think all pastors have to win like 5,000 souls before they could become a pastor, but it's not true. It's not true. I'm not naturally that way. But what the Bible tells me is that power will come upon me to be a witness. So what the Bible tells me is being a witness for Jesus, whatever that looks like, is a result of a baptism with the Holy Spirit. All the gifts of the Spirit are byproducts of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. It is for empowerment in ministry. I'm going to share this verse and then I want to invite us to respond. Our second question this morning was, who is it for? The short answer is all. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. And Pastor Jen spoke last week on speaking in tongues and went through many of the same verses as well. And you can go back and listen to that as well, because speaking in tongues many times is an initial evidence that you have been filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit. But I don't personally believe it's always the evidence. But I believe there should be evidence. If you were being tried in a court of law and they were trying to determine whether you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, they should be able to find substantial evidence. In the last days, God says, this is from the book of Joel, originally about 600 to 800 years, no one's really sure, before Jesus was born. And Peter stands up to read this same verse from the book of Joel. Apparently Joel was a good guy. He was a fun guy, actually. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. How many of you are in the all people? Let's try this again. How many of you are in the all people? Okay. So God says, in the last days, are we in the last days? You must be dead to not realize we're in the last day. We are in the last days. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years, by the way. Okay? People think, oh, it's worse. Like, it's really the last days now because it's so much worse than it was. Read about the first century church. First century church, the Emperor Nero used to behead Christians and use their heads to light up his garden parties. We've been in the last days. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. And the Holy Spirit will come upon all people. There is no junior Holy Spirit. Kids get filled with the same Holy Spirit that adults do. Exactly. It says your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. You know why young men see visions and old men dream dreams? Because old men nap more. Amen. I'm 43 now, and boy, a nap. I don't know about you, but a nice nap is like, I like swan dive into the covers, if I can just get a 15-minute nap. Peter doesn't stop there because Joel didn't stop there. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. Sons, daughters, young, old, servants as well. Every class, every race, every gender, every identifying gender, every person of every walk in their life, in everywhere, every single age, God wants to pour out his Spirit. The question is, are we turned up? Are we turned up? I'd like to invite the worship team to come out. God desires that all would be filled. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, you want to empower your church. You want to fill every person here. All people, all walks of life, You want to fill them all with your Spirit.